salvation. That's his object, that's his goal, that's his ambition, is to save every human being in this world, every one of us. He comes after us as the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes looking for the one who is straying. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as we live in Christ and as we receive the mind of Christ, we begin to look at people the same way. And we begin to find grace through Jesus Christ that when people do things that we know they shouldn't be doing, and because we've done similar things ourselves, and when we've done them, we know we shouldn't have been doing them, but we find the grace of God to look at them, and we're able to say, Father, please forgive them. They don't know what they're doing any more than I don't know what I'm doing. But we should always understand we're in the same boat together with all the other sinners in this world, and they need our prayers just as much as we need theirs. But we all need his forgiveness, and it's there for us. Not just for those people that were there that day, but for every human being that has ever or would ever live. Father, forgive them. He was thinking about you, not just the soldiers, not just the Jewish leaders. He was thinking about you, and he was extending forgiveness to you that day, knowing someday you would need it just as much as he was giving it to them. The thief had asked him, the thief on one side, well, they both were jeering and mocking him to begin with, but one of them came to his senses by the grace of God and asked him if he would remember him when he came in his kingdom. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you today. Now, I know the comma goes behind today, because Jesus didn't go to paradise that day. He went to the tomb. He didn't go to paradise until the first day of the week, because he told Mary, I have not yet ascended to my Father. So we know he didn't go on Friday, because he had not even gone yet on Sunday morning. So he says, assuredly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise someday. And Jesus has the same answer for you if you have the same question for him. Now, remember the question? Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Lord, remember me. Now, it doesn't sound like he's saying, Lord, save me. Lord, I want to be a Christian. Lord, I want to be a worker. It doesn't sound like it, but Jesus heard it, because he listens to the heart. And the man said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. I want to be with you. I want to be wherever you're. I want to be on your side. No matter what that is, I know I can trust you. Amen. And Jesus gave him the affirmative. He's looking down. He sees his dear mother, and he sees John. And he says, woman, behold your son. And then he told John, behold your mother. That was a dedication and a commission that John was to fulfill the mandates that were on the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn. And as long as the firstborn lived, they were supposed to take care of their parents. And he knew that he needed to leave that duty to a very faithful, responsible person, John. Was the only one who didn't flee during the trial. He was there. He had connections, evidently, in the Sanhedrin or in the temple priesthood, because he was able to get in and he was able to get Peter in, but it was Peter's undoing, because the closer he got that night, the more fearful and weak he became, and he denied Jesus. But John was even there at the cross. John was there standing with his mother, and many people knew who Jesus' mother was that day. And if they didn't know, the gossipers were sure pointing, oh, there's his mother, that's his mother. Well, who's that with him? Oh, that's one of his followers. But the Jews didn't grab John, because God was protecting John that day. That's the only reason they didn't grab him. But they would have, but the Lord was protecting him. And he said, take care of my mother. What a wonderful testimony about Jesus. And then in the darkest moment when sin was completely consuming him, because Isaiah 53 says that the Father has laid on him all of our sins. He didn't just lay on him the sin of Adam, which is enough to cause death for the whole human race. But Isaiah 53 says the Father has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of our sins engulfed him. In fact, Paul says, he who knew no sin became sin that day. I can't even comprehend that. And Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you deserted me? Now make no mistake about it, Jesus was not confused. Jesus never lost his understanding that day. Never once. If the Father had not pulled away from Jesus when all the sins of the human race were placed on him, there would have been an explosion of some kind that would have destroyed the whole universe. And the only thing left would have been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all alone again. They would have been all alone again, just like they were before they started creating the angels and all the other worlds in us. But God the Father is coming to destroy sin someday. He will release his entire glory to consume the sin on this world. And in that day, we will need that hiding place that David sings about. We will need that special place, that secret place, that covering, that high, mighty fortress. And Jesus, in Hebrews 13, Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, he's somebody who knows what that means. Because he said that after he had ascended to heaven. He said that, and Paul wrote it down in the book of Hebrews 13, I will never leave you or forsaken you, because he knows what it's like to be forsaken. All the human beings left him and forsook him. His own, I can't even comprehend how close the Father and the Holy Spirit must be and Jesus must be. But he was left alone to tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone. Hallelujah. No wonder Handel wrote the song Hallelujah and all the other songs that go with it. Jesus was very human. He was fully God, but he was also fully human. He said, I thirst. And they quickly took a sponge, put it on a spear, dipped it in the sour wine, and put it to his mouth. When he tasted of it, he knew he didn't want that, but he was expressing a human need. He suffered just like you and me. In fact, more than any human ever in the history of the human race, Jesus suffered. Now, this was a victory cry. He would soon bow and give up the ghost and be dead. But when he cried, it is finished, the Greek is tetelestai, which means paid in full. Paid in full. It's the word that they would stamp on if you were a prisoner, if you'd been indicted and tried and convicted and sentenced to 20 years in prison, hard prison, hard labor prison. At the end of 20 years, as you go free, if you've kept your life, if you've kept your nose clean, if you haven't looked cross-eyed at one of the guards, because you don't have to do much in those prisons. If you just look at them wrong, they'll tack on another 10 years back in Rome. I mean, nothing like what we have now. But if you kept clean and you've stayed good and you've done everything you're supposed to do and you fulfilled your 20 years of hard labor, as you leave the prison, they would write on it, tetelestai, paid in full. Jesus paid your sentence in full. And mine. And not just believers. He paid it for all human beings. Everyone is free to go if they so choose. If they don't choose, they remain in bondage. They remain in prison, the prison house of sin. Jesus has paid for every sin and every sinner that has ever or will ever exist. He's paid it in full for any who will choose. It's the same testimony that Joshua gave 1,500 years, 1,400 years previously. He said, choose you this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And so that's the testimony of God. I've made a way for you. All you need do is choose me, because I have chosen you. Paid in full. Jesus is the epitome. He's the fullness. He's the completion. He's the totality of faith. The faith of Jesus, even in the midst of the worst human experience a human could ever experience, the second death was consuming him. The second death caused by your sin and my sin and Adam's sin and the sins of all the world. The second death was consuming him, devouring him like a hungry lion. He was upon, this curse was upon Jesus. He knew it. He was not confused. He knew what was happening to him. He'd settled it the night before. He knew what was coming. And he prayed, Father, please remove this cup from me. Let's do this some other way. He prayed it three times, hard prayers, because the blood came from his brow. I've never prayed that hard. Finally, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He knew it was coming. He knew what was happening. He knew his only hope was in his Father, even though he couldn't see him, he couldn't hear him, he couldn't feel him. That's the same faith you're going to need. And I'm going to need. If we would live with him in heaven. We need that faith. We must seek that faith. We must ask for that faith. We must knock on the door of heaven to receive that faith. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be found. Seek and you will find. We must be doing that each day if we would stand true in our times of testing and trial. And those tests and those trials come every day. Satan, like a roaring lion, is seeking to devour you. And don't look at your trials and your tests as unimportant and small, because I want to tell you something very clear. If you fail to overcome, you will not sit down with him in his kingdom. The thief on the cross overcame. He finally realized he needed to stop mocking Jesus, and he told the thief, you know what? We deserve this, but this man is innocent. He was testifying for Jesus. He went public for Jesus. I don't know what else he said that day afterwards, after Jesus promised him eternal life. I don't know what else he said, but there's another appointment I'm going to have in heaven. I'm going to sit down with that guy. Tell me, what else did you say? Luke just said this is... But I know you must have said something more. What else did you say for Jesus that day? What did you tell the crowd? What did you say to those soldiers? Did you witness? I want to hear. I want to know. Because that's what a believer does. That's what someone who receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they don't just do it once and then don't do it and quit. They keep doing it until they die. In fact, as they are dying, Christians witness for Jesus. Even if they can't talk, their eyes witness for Jesus. Their demeanor, their personality, their disposition. They witness for glory because they're full of glory. But we must have the faith of Jesus. Don't settle for the faith of grandma, grandpa, Paul or Peter, James or John, mom or dad, brother, sister, pastor, evangelist, whoever. Don't settle for any of those faith. Their faith can encourage you to go for the faith of Jesus, but don't stop with people. Go all the way to Jesus. And anytime you're tested or tempted or tried, you answer. You use this testimony right here. Use this testimony right here. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 12, 11. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony must be the testimony of Jesus. And when the enemy comes against you, you need to say, Father, I commit my spirit into your hands. Father, save me. Father, protect me. Father, help me. That's what Jesus was doing. I commit my spirit into your hands. When you're in a battlefield, when the enemy's pressing hard, he's trying to get you to lie, he's trying to get you to steal, he's trying to get you to lust and commit adultery in your heart, or he's trying to get you to do it with your body, no matter what he's doing, if he's trying to get you to go and covet or whatever he's trying to get you to do, this will always succeed. Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. The greatest story ever told. The greatest person who's ever lived is Jesus. Zephaniah 3:17 says that Jesus says he's going to rejoice over us with singing. I believe he already does that. Whenever sinners come for grace, I believe he joins the angels and they all sing. And then I believe when you choose him over what Satan is offering you on a daily basis, I believe he rejoices over you when you succeed there as well. When you team up with the Holy Spirit and you and the Holy Spirit are able to do battle and defeat the enemy. But there's a day coming. He's going to sing over us face to face. We're going to see him face to face. And you know it's going to be this big crowd. You can't even count them. Billions and billions and billions. You won't even be able to count them. And you know what? There's going to be some kind of a miracle going on there because everybody in the crowd is going to feel like they're on the front row. And we're going to be able to see him like we're on the front row. We're going to be able to hear him with perfect hearing, with 2015 vision or 2010, whatever is better. And man, is it going to be awesome. But today, as we've heard singing and music, when Lauren and Richard were playing Were You There? That's beautiful. And I'm going to invite, there's a few folks, we've been singing some of these songs, and I want to invite you up, whether the Wednesday night group or Sabbath school group, come on up. And bring a hymn book with you, because the rest of the congregation, we're going to sing a hymn in a minute, and they're going to have the hymn on the screen. So you go ahead and bring a hymn book, because we're going to all sing a song together in a minute. But we're going to end our program here today with singing to the Lord and music. So come on up here and get arranged, folks. Going up on the steps, yeah. I would rather be playing my guitar back there with Richard. And where's Judith? Judith, you better be there. What? Well, it starts off, it's going to be in the key of C. But here's, I got an important life-changing announcement. You know, I've said many times that I know that I have African in me, right? You guys have heard me say that, right? Well, I can prove it now because I had my DNA tested, and I am 99.8% Northern European and 0.2% African. And that's true. That's true. So I'm just as African as she is. In fact, my wife has 5% African, so I'm 5.2% because her and I, we're one. Amen. For those tears I died. And you can turn my mic down a little bit. Mic a little bit. About the same as what they are, yeah. chorus again. Join us in the chorus. And Jesus. There's a song we've been singing that we've been wanting to sing here for quite a while, and it's called The Days of Elijah. And here's the fact of the whole matter: because Jesus is alive and risen from the dead, we have access to the same spirit that powered Elijah. In fact, God says, I will send you Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And what he means is, I will send you the same experience. I will raise you up and use you in mighty ways if you're following me. That's basically it. And so this song is for all of us who believe in Jesus. Days of Elijah, key of G, Days of Elijah. Here we go.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide.
Amen. Man, I'm ready to rapture right now.
Get a hymn book.
I don't believe in a secret rapture, but I still believe in a rapture. But we're not done. Now, we're going to sing together. I'm going to invite the congregation to stand. It's in the hymn book 166, but it's also up on the screen. So let's sing to the glory of our Creator and our Savior. Testimony line, and the women are going to answer hallelujah. Here we go. Soar we now. Here we go.
Soar we now, Christ hath led.
Hallelujah.
Falling now, exalted head.
Testimony, amen. If that is your testimony, say amen.
Amen.
The Lord is risen.
Amen.
You're supposed to say He is risen indeed. We'll try that one more time. The Lord is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Go forth in the resurrection life of Jesus. He will never fail you. He will never desert you. He loves you more than life itself. God bless you as you go.